So guys, there's a show. It's a show that's been going a long, long time. It's in its 12th season. You've probably heard of it. It's called American Idol. Who watches American Idol? You're still into American Idol? Can you believe that? This show, I'll give you that. Hey, so this show has been on since 2002. Who was not born in 2002? Can you believe that? Is it? It's 12. I was, Jacoby says. Yeah. But American Idol. This show has swept the nation in the past. There were, I think, 5 years that it was the number one show on television. And it's just a bunch of people who go and say, you know what? I think I got it. I want my shot. I want to be the next American Idol. I want to be that soloist that everybody yells and screams about. So we've seen some great people. Kelly Clarkson came out of there. She's a great artist. Some awesome artists have come from there. There were also some terrible auditions, right? There were people. There are people on there who can't sing, right? And it's funny. And I feel bad for laughing at them, but you're just like, hey, brother, you should not be on that show because you're awful. But this is a show that we love watching. And they've got it, American Idol. We worship them, right? We worship these people. We're looking for the next person to worship. You say, no, that's ridiculous. One Direction came from a show like this. Hello, TV. One Direction came from a British show like this. What girls love One Direction out here, huh? Yes. What girls think that they're absolutely attractive? One Direction, huh? Yeah? How about Justin Bieber fans? We got any Justin Bieber fans out here? Hey, so here's the deal. Here's the deal. Great show. It's fun to watch. But this explains our society a little bit. This explains our culture is telling us, hey, we're going to give you the next person to worship. We're going to give you that next idol. We're going to give you this next Justin Bieber, this next One Direction that you're going to just go crazy over. Because here's the thing. There's videos all over YouTube. If you've been to a concert, probably of anybody, but if you've been to a Justin Bieber concert, it's unreal. How many girls, they're crying. They're going crazy. They're just like screaming, I love you, I love you. They're worshiping him. And maybe we throw that word out. Maybe we throw out worship. But our worship as a believer in Jesus Christ, as someone who we believe and confess that Jesus is Lord, our worship is to him. Our worship is to God. But our culture is screaming at us to say, hey, let me tell you who I think you should worship. Let me give you all these things that you should worship. Let me give you a TV show that's running 12 seasons long. We'll tell you who to worship. These people are encapsulated. They're just totally fixated on their TV and just saying, man, what's going to happen this week? And they're loving it. That's not a bad thing. But if that's the focus of your worship, that's a bad thing. The next American Idol. So today, this morning, I want to talk about worship. I want to talk about how worship, what worship is, why we worship, and then how we worship. Those are the things we're going to look at this morning. I tried to look at some videos, but you've all seen them. These people auditioning for American Idol, themselves trying to be worshipped. We're going to talk about that too. But then when we look at these people like Justin Bieber in One Direction and all these things, could be sports, guys. It's not just Justin Bieber. But many of you probably spent time with buddies or your dad last night worshiping college football. You may do it this afternoon when the Cowboys play. It's great. So don't hear, it's great to cheer for a team, but sometimes, guys, that team becomes our everything. We're so into the stats. We're so into who's getting so many yards. We're so into our fantasy football. Yeah, you're over here chanting, yeah, I love it. Can't wait to get to it. But you miss the God who loves you. We miss out on that every week. He's here. He loves you. He wants to be in relationship with you. And he commands our worship. So what's that look like? Let's see what God has to say about it. There's a great psalm. Psalm 100. It's short. It's only five verses long. This is what it says. You can read it on the screen. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. That's the God we serve. That's the God worthy of worship. That's not Justin Bieber. That's not our Cowboys. That's nothing in this world. Only God is that. Faithfulness continues through all generations. He's good, and his love endures forever. That's a God worthy of worship. So what is worship? What does that mean, to worship? What is worship? Well, we see it as singing, right? A lot of us worship through song. That's a great way to do it. The Psalms were full. Every psalm, there are 150 of them, all of them were written to a song. They usually had like a harp back then. That was their form of a guitar. And they sang praises to God because it just brings this emotion out. We can express ourselves in different ways through song. And they just sang praises to him. Right there, verse 1, they shouted for joy over all the earth. And they sang songs to our God. But I think worship is more than just a song. And that's why we're looking at it this morning. Worship is more than just singing on a Sunday morning or singing in your car. Worship is just more than the words on the screen. Worship is us. Our lives are in worship to God. I think that we are created, I wrote it down, and we're created with an insatiable desire and thirst to worship. When we don't worship God, we go somewhere else. We have to. We are created to worship, man and woman, created to glorify something, and that something is God. And when we don't, we seek it somewhere else. We seek it maybe in a substance. We seek it maybe in a person. We have to worship. And God says, hey, I made you to worship me. But sometimes we miss it. So here, how would I define worship? I heard someone define it like this. His name's Louis Giglio, and I really liked it. Worship is a response to what we value most. So worship is an outpouring of who we are. Okay, and we'll get into that some in a little bit. But worship is a response. Worship is, hey, something happened, and I want to worship that person because of it. Justin Bieber made a great song. People tend to worship him because of that music. God sent his son to die on the cross. That's worthy worship. God lovingly created us and wants to be in a relationship with us. That's worthy of worship. It's a response. But too many times, we let other things in our lives get in the way, and they become idols. Too many times we make these American idols. Could be at school, could be sports, could be trying to just get those grades, trying to be the captain of your football team, could be the girl that you want to date, could be the guy you want to take to the dance, want him to take you to the dance. There are so many things that we, in our flesh, in our human nature, want to worship because we're not worshiping the Lord the way he created us to. Worship is a response to what we value most. So why do we worship? Is the next question. Well, we worship because worship matters to God. Worship, God created himself. He is the end all of everything. He is and was and will always be. He is God. And it's not that he's so prideful that he wants everyone to worship him. He's perfect. And he is the only being anything that can say that. And he not only is worthy of praise, he commands our praise because he's God and he's good. It says that right there in Psalm 100. If we can go back to the end, verse 4 through 5. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Worship matters to God. But sometimes we just do it because we think we're supposed to. Sometimes we just go through those motions. But God's sitting there and he's just saying, hey, I'm here. Worship me. And guys, I don't know if you've had that kind of worship where you just give everything you have to the Lord. That may be in song and praise. It may just be in how you're serving in love and using that as a way to worship the Lord. But it's unbelievable to give the Lord our worship. It's amazing. But sometimes we're so focused on worshiping ourselves. Sometimes I think of Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs created Apple, and he wrote a biography right before he died. He wrote a biography, and the reason he wrote this biography is so that his son would know him. And that saddens me, because here was a guy who his entire life spent trying to build his name and in a way worship himself and worship the things that he could create, that he missed out on the son that God gave him. And so he had to write a book and say, here, son, read this. This is who I am and what I've done for you. A lot of us get consumed in what we're doing and we worship ourselves. We become our own idol. But again, we're designed to worship the Lord, and we got to do that. God doesn't need our worship. He can continue without us. He's not sitting there going, hey, come on, fuel the flame, throw another log on the fire. I need you. But he wants it. He desires it. And again, he commands it all throughout Scripture. He is the Lord, and he's worthy of praise. I encourage you all this week to dig into some of the Psalms, any of them. Some of them are depressing, some of them are exciting, but all of them, through all of that, is joy, is worship. It's not just saying, hey, God, I'm done with this, but just saying, I'm hurting, but I love you in the midst of it. That's why we worship. And then so, how do we worship? Typically, again, because the Psalms are written to song, it's easy for us to sing songs of praise, to sing hymns. Some of you guys may have grown up singing hymns. Singing songs is a great way to worship and praise our Lord. But it's not it. That's not the only thing. If you've been in to big church, if you've seen Todd preach before, he ends every service and says, have a great week of worship. Because this is not the only place we worship. Yes, this is God's house. This is his holy temple. But if this is the only place you're worshiping, you're missing it. And I'll tell you again, we're designed to worship, and we're designed to worship our Heavenly Father. And if you're only doing it here, then all week you're probably seeking something else. Our lives are meant to be in worship to our Father. This is not the only place it happens. There's a quote again by Louis Giglio about how we don't just worship with our words, with just our song. I've been guilty many, many times of sitting through a worship service and just everyone's singing around me, and I just start singing, but my heart's not in it. For you 7th and 8th graders that were here this summer, we looked at the Sermon on the Mount. And every week, Jesus said, hey, here's what the law said, but here's what I'm telling you. It goes beyond that. It's about the heart. Every week, he said, here's what you're doing, but no. If your heart's not right with me, that anger is the same as murder. If your heart's not in it, then it means nothing. Is basically what he's saying. We give our hearts in worship. Our song means nothing if our lives are not attached to it. So here's this quote that Louis Giglio said about how worship is more than our words. We bring words amplified by an authentic life that flows from being spiritually alive within. The words are amplified by our lives. So basically, we've got a guitar here, right? You saw Braun, Sal. You saw Sal playing it earlier. That guitar by itself, you wouldn't hardly hear it. You can't really hear it. If you had a room of 10,000 people, no one would really hear it except for the front row. But when you plug that into an amplifier, the life, that's what's bringing it out to everything. Then, what does it say here? Then that flows from being spiritually alive within. So that analogy to me is our song is this guitar. But it's amplified by that life that's plugged in spiritually to the Lord, where it's locked in and it's got that current from God, and it's just constantly saying, yeah, I'll praise you. Even if I don't have music, I'm still plugged into the wall. I've still got it. You just plug in and sing, and boom, it's amplified. Now, there are flaws in that analogy, but our lives are worship. Everything we do is in worship to the Lord. So this morning you probably noticed we didn't have worship. I know that for me, worship is one of my favorite things about coming to church, but it doesn't just have to happen here. You've got Pandora, you've got Spotify, you've got iTunes. Some of you guys might have guitars. Sing. worship throughout the week. There's junk on the radio. When I was y'all's age, my parents just said, hey, there's better music out there. And we love to play a video every week to say, hey, there are artists who make great music who love Jesus and are proclaiming his truth. We've talked some about, hey, I just listen to Rap for the Beats. I can show you guys that have great beats, and they're spitting out the gospel, and it's unbelievable. That's life-giving. If you want to worship through the week, do that. I'll tell you another way you can worship. Mike Yee, I was talking to him some about worship this week. He said his favorite psalm about worship that he goes back to is Psalm 84:10. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. And there's a song about that, and we sing that. And yes, it's so great to raise your hands and say, better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. But Mike said, man, I learned something about that psalm. Those tent keepers, basically they were janitors. They were nobodies. What they're talking about there, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Those doorkeepers were just picking up poop all day, every day, cleaning up the grounds. And what they did for worship is to serve. And they did it with joy. They did it with love. That can be in how you play sports. That can be in how you go through your classrooms. That can be in how you love your brothers and sisters, your mom and dad. That can be anything. If you have to do chores, do it to the glory of God and worship him, because he's God and he's good and it's loving. So we didn't sing today, because I think some of us, and I'm telling you, this is me, I get guilty of it. I come to church, I get used to the routine, I come in, we sing a song, it's great, it's upbeat, we'll have some games, we'll have some skits, we'll meet some people, and then we sing three songs and have a message, and then we leave. That's not what worship is. Worship is pouring ourselves out. You know what true worship is? True worship to his God was Jesus on the cross. Said, here's me, here's everything. Dumped out. God, I love you, and I love these people you created. Take me. Take my life. He laid it down. He gave everything. And because of that, if worship is a response to what we value most, that is of unbelievable value, immeasurable value. That's why we sing. That's why we go through those things. Not because we've got to fill up time. Not because you come to church and we sing three songs. Those words mean something. So the band's going to come up here. And we didn't sing this morning because I wanted, if it were me in the audience right now, if I was sitting in y'all's seat, I'd probably go, wait a second, I want to worship. I hope you feel that. I hope you want to sing to your God because he's good and he's worthy of praise. But we need to prepare ourselves for that worship. We need to prepare our hearts. We need to come to God not just saying, hey, I'm here and I'll sing these songs and I really would like to sit down. But I encourage you guys, before you come to Wake, be right with the Lord. Know why you're coming in here. Know why he's good. Know why you want to sing praises to him. The Old Testament has all these kind of sacrifices. And God allowed them, for one of the reasons he allowed them to do those sacrifices was to atone for sins, and Jesus paid that. But it took time. It took preparation. They had to take time out of their day and prepare. And they could not go into the presence of the Lord to worship him until they prepared. So that's what I want you guys to see this morning. I want you to prepare your hearts right now. Just bow your heads. I'm going to ask them to play just a little bit. Just pray. Just get your heart right before the Lord. Ask the Lord to just wipe out any thoughts of anxiety or fear or what you're doing later or what you're eating for lunch. Make this all about Jesus, all about our God. That's all that matters. Pray to him for a sec.